And lo and behold, this buffalo just strolls right into camp. And we were having breakfast, and well, most of the other guys are just standing there staring at this buffalo thinking, oh wow, it's a buffalo. Wow, isn't this great? And they start maybe even pull out their cameras and they're taking pictures. And well, I look over at Jerry and he's standing on top of his truck. And I was like, fuck this. If Jerry's standing up there, I'm getting up there with Jerry.
So he goes up there and meets with the president, does all this stuff, and he's watching the roping and stuff going on. He says, we're better than these guys.
Really?
Yeah, we're better than these guys. So he goes back and says to his buddies, let's go over there and we can win this. Okay? And he did befriend some local ranchers up there, local, who lent them horses, bet the ranch, basically, and cleaned up.
Is it? We're off and rolling.
We're on.
We're off. Jim.
Yeah, dude.
Jimmy boy.
No Jimmy.
My man. Not Jimmy.
Not Jimmy. Not Jimbo. You can call me Sir Jim.
Yes, sir.
Sir Jim.
That'd be good.
Excuse me.
Slammer would be good. Maybe people know me as that.
Let me introduce you, Jim Cunningham. One of the factors in my life. One of the influencers.
I'm not really going to say I claim that, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, some of my best experiences are through my time with you, so I don't know what to say. I'm so thankful that you came. Eddie, thanks for being my partner.
Bro.
I
love being your partner
you,
on this
Eddie.
Show. It's fantastic, dude. Thanks for having me, man.
You know, I always like to plug the intro song and tell us where we can download your music.
Yeah, you can find that on any audio platform, Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever. And you can also download that on my website as well, eddiebooz.com. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that, brother.
Anytime, Eddie. Okay, so, Jimmy, it's you're going to have to just forgive
me. You call
me
Jimmy. You call me Jimmy.
That's
all right.
You're Jimmy to me, so.
You and my mom, they both call
me.
I'll call you the slammer.
Is she still not talking to you?
Ever since she met you.
Okay, so Mr. Cunningham,
whatever. Formalities can go too far.
Well, okay, so I have to admit, I've done this a few times. I feel like I'm getting better at it. I don't know why I'm the most nervous I've ever been for a guest, and I just don't know why, because I want to get it right with you. I know you're a get it right kind of guy. That's how you've taught me a lot. Not only how to, you know, act and think, but you've taught me how to ride a horse properly.
Obviously, you have still a long way to go with you.
and I wouldn't say, that kind of sounds funny to horsemen, but you taught me how to ride a horse better, I should say. So I remember the day we met, the moment we met, I thought I was hot. And
I do too.
And I'm riding my horse and I'm pulling him over here and I'm pulling him over here and I'm hitting him on top of the head. And you come riding right up next to me and said, you obviously don't know what you're doing.
No, I was much more gracious than that.
Your wing.
I was much more gracious than that because you were bragging about what a great horseman you were.
I was not. You add that to the fucking story. It's not.
It's a true story.
No,
I was not bragging. You were talking about your experience.
I was trying to brag my actions.
So I went up to him. The horse is obviously nervous and a little bit upset. So
sure.
I went up there.
And I was too.
And I go, Ryan, you know, I know you're a hell of a horseman, but could I offer a few suggestions? And he goes, oh, it's a horse's fault. No,
I didn't say that either. I would have,
I love it.
I just can't stand it when people add shit to my stories. My stories are my fucking stories.
Eddie loves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody does this to me. They do. They it's not even.
Hey, it makes you look adorable. It makes you look adorable. Okay, and you are adorable.
I might have looked at you instead.
Anyway, so I offered a few suggestions, and he was grateful to get them. And about 10 minutes later, the horse is striding out just great, happy as he could be. He was happy. And we had a great ride.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, truly, that was the best advice I could have ever received as far as being a horseman. I just didn't, I was doing the opposite of, everything I was doing was the opposite of what I was supposed to do. And I realize now is one of the things that I, the first thing you taught me, I think, was quit kicking the horse with that and get some spurs. And there's a reason we have spurs and there's a reason they're effective. And you don't kick the horse with the spurs. You squeeze the horse with the spurs. I mean, that lesson was one of the best lessons. I mean, the first best lesson I got from you, I think, was. And then the other, the number two lesson was, get off your horse. Walk him around a little bit. You don't have to just stay up there the whole time. And that's one of the things I found helpful when we were together doing the stuff we were doing out in the field was just get off and take a breath.
Well, like you, Ryan, anything I know and everything I know and I've learned from other people, okay, that are far better than I am, always will be, and I respect what they tell me because I'm interested to learn, being a lifelong learner. And with more you learn about the horse, the more you realize you don't know. Okay, and I am very fortunate to have been around, and still am, great horsemen. I bought my first horse from Bobby Adair. He was a New Mexican cowboy, and he was the winningest jockey in Los Alamitos history. And
So you consider jockeys cowboys, or are they just, they're either jockeys or they're cowboys or they're
both?
He
was a full cowboy.
Oh, okay, that was a jockey.
Yeah, he was a full cowboy from New Mexico.
Okay.
His wife was a championship barrel racer. His daughter went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo on a rodeo scholarship. She, to this day, she trains horses and does stunt work in the movies.
Awesome.
Okay. And Bobby would say with spurs, punch him in the sides. Put holes in his sides. And I, there's a very green young colt, and they're a little nervous to ride on. I mean, they don't know either what's going on.
You mean punch him to get him to jump?
No, just I was being a little bit timid on that in that situation with that horse. Okay? You have to read where you're at, but I was, you know, a little nervous about it. And then so Bobby was schooled me on that, and another guy, famous man named Rusty Richards, great horse trainer.
God bless him.
He sang with Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers for years. He just died at 92 years old. Mm. Okay, he sang for six presidents. He's in the rodeo. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. He has more awards than you can ever imagine. And
I'm getting chills thinking of
Rusty.
Of course. And I was fortunate enough to get a private lesson from, I mean, it was a field lesson.
He can't help himself.
He was the best.
He can't help himself.
He gave me a private lesson and gave me a private guitar session. It was, the guy is just, was fantastic.
Yeah.
I miss being around him.
He was in a lot of movies. One of his best friends is Burt Reynolds.
Wow.
Tremendous gentleman. Probably one of the best gentlemen I've ever met in my life was Rusty Richards.
Wow.
And we miss him. And he said to me about wearing spurs, don't you want to win? Okay, if you want to win, wear spurs. Okay. Now, on the other side, there are horses that are so well-trained, they don't need spurs. They just need a little gentle, you know, pressure, and they respond. But they're not, those horses are fully refined. They know what to expect. They know what to expect out of the rider. They don't need any more encouragement because they enjoy what they're doing. And that's part of it is to have the horse enjoy the experience with you because they're living, breathing, caring characters. And when they're having fun, you're having fun with them. So you want, like any animal, any person wants to feel safe and secure, okay? No matter what kind of living, breathing animal it is. So you want to get that feeling with them. And once you build that partnership, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Can you relate that to a wife?
No.
Oh, so it doesn't, that lesson doesn't equate?
No. Of course, all people, all
let's
people.
Rewind the tape and instead of saying horse, they say wife.
No, I think it's true that you have to treat everybody with kindness and respect.
And Jim, okay, that's why I mean, you really are one of my. I love you. I do. I've always loved you. I just think I'm so thankful when you call me, and every time you call me, I realize I haven't called you, and I really value our friendship so much.
Yeah, so quit looking respect, at your watch. You know, you go into life with trying to treat people with kindness and respect, okay?
Yes, sir.
And it works at the home, with your wife, your kids, works with your friends, and avoid energy vampires. Okay, those people
that
just energy vampires.
Avoid energy vampires, he said. Yep.
That will suck the energy out of you.
Let me ask you this, Jim. How do you identify an energy vampire in your own life?
It takes some discernment because some are pretty manipulative and deceptive because they're trying to get something out of you. Okay.
A transactional friendship.
Yeah, they're trying to get something from you they don't have. And I don't believe in saying anything bad about anybody, you know, because everybody has their own experience. But when asked, particularly in a business situation, I'll say this is my experience, okay? And it didn't turn out so well. So just be aware of that. But everybody can have a bad haircut day and be off. So why do I judge them all the way through their life on my particular situation? And people can change.
Sure.
Okay? But you can, energy vampires usually have a history of that. So you can check around on, get a little reference on them to find out.
Remind me who services my insurance, my life insurance needs. I'm having a mind blank on his name.
If you're having a mind blank,
God,
how would I know?
Why am I forgetting his name? You know who I'm talking about. Lives down on the peninsula, I think on Lido, and he's one of the main dudes, and he sells insurance. You know,
I don't know.
Oh my God, his son's on the deal.
I don't know.
I'll think of it.
Okay, you think.
Okay, sorry. So anyway, what you reminded me was I was asking. I've had some arguments, and I've come out of my shell a couple times, and I think you gave me this lesson was that watch him. You will never hear him speak.
Oh, Terry Chapman?
No, he sells life insurance.
I don't know.
He's one of the main. He always brings up the rear with his.
Hubie?
Hubie, come on. God, how do I fucking forget Hubie's name?
Hubie Lorne is a
character.
Sorry,
Hubie.
Hubie's a little character.
Well, that's what I. So when you say that, the lesson, and maybe it wasn't you, but somebody told me, they said, Hubie, a bad word never comes out of his mouth about other people. And I try to invoke Hubie a lot.
Yeah, well, that's
that
good. I mean, this has been learned over time for me because there's many times I've said fighting words. Okay. And I've popped off top of my head and said things that I regret later. And I pay for it.
Oh, wow. Oh, absolutely. We pay for our...
Are we going back to the wife discussion now? Anyway. No, but that whole point is, you know, and so I've had to learn how to wait and not say anything and let it play out. But I pay for it, but then again, I'll stand on principle. If I believe my principles are right, I'll stand on them. And, you know, whether it offends somebody or not, it's really not my problem.
And like standing on your principles may include just coming unglued? Are you trying harder to come unglued? That's the whole... Because you've seen me come unglued. That's why I say, that, like, most people, a lot of people have... don't know that I can come unglued, and you've seen it.
Well, you're just a passionate man, and you can say that's okay.
So, you say it's okay?
There's nothing wrong with having passion in your life. Okay, every man should have passions.
Sure.
Okay, and I'm not talking about the romantic kind. I'm just talking about passion for living. Yep. And for some people, it's horses, and some people, it's dogs, and some people, it's
music or whatever.
Music or tennis or, you know, whatever it is. But when you embrace yourself into something you like and enjoy, you know, be passionate about it, you know, and share that passion.
So one of the passions I found was after I met you was to get better and better as a horseman. And so I would talk to everybody and say, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And then one of, see, again, I'm nervous around you, Jimmy. I don't know why, cause we're such close friends, but, who am I thinking of now that provides, he's the donkey trainer.
Jerry Tindall?
Jerry Tindall. Fucking sorry, Jerry. You're in good company with Hubie. If I can't remember Jerry and Hubie, I have problems, which I likely do.
So. Are we plugging Jerry's mule horse and mule school
I
now?
I would like to because I don't know if you realize this, but I fucking talk to Jerry. You know, he'll send me a note every once in a while, and Jerry likes me.
Everybody likes you, Ryan.
Well, I mean, I would say, isn't that kind of cool that Jerry likes me? Yeah. I mean, you can't just get Jerry to like
you. I don't know if he likes you, but he's certainly entertained
he
by
wouldn't
you.
Fucking, he wouldn't fucking text me or reach out to me if he didn't like me.
Yeah, of course he does.
So he gave me a lesson one time, and it was a lesson by watching him. And you may recall we were camped out in a remote spot in Catalina Blackjacks. And if anybody's never been to Catalina or been to Blackjacks, just go there and stand there. It's just a fantastic spot. So we have all of our horses there and Jerry's there. And lo and behold, this buffalo just strolls right into camp. And we were having breakfast and so of course I'm looking at you to see what you're going to do. I'm looking at someone else to see what they're going to do. And I'm looking at Jerry. Well, most of the other guys are just standing there staring at this buffalo thinking, oh, wow, it's a buffalo. Wow. Isn't this great? And they start maybe even pull out their cameras and they're taking pictures. Jerry, I look over at you and I think you're heading a direction. Well, I look over at Jerry and he's standing on top of his truck. And I was like, fuck this. If Jerry's standing up there, I'm getting up there with Jerry. Oh, I thought that was one of the best lessons because I hesitate to say I've had success out there in the field with you guys, but I've had some success and that's one of, I think my superpowers is just to watch the guys that know what they're doing and then try to
emulate.
Yeah. And do what they
do.
So
your success was getting on top of the truck?
And staying alive.
Survive, yeah.
Well, yeah, and so Jerry's
well,
not
Well, can
dumb.
I tell you a true story? Of course, all my stories are true. So right now, Blackjack a few years ago, and I was leading the group, and there was a bunch of guys behind me, and my horse was getting anxious. I could see his ears go forward, sniffing and tightening up, and we were on this single-track trail. Yeah, it was steep on the left side, kind of went down on the right. And there in the middle of the trail was a bull buffalo sitting there. And
so dangerous.
And he started getting up. My horse reared up, hind legs, spun around. I spun him around because I didn't want him to go back on me. So I just lowered my left hand as low as I could and pulled it. And he flopped around the other side and tried to push back all the other riders. And it took me a while to control him, and we decided to go a different way after that.
Okay, and I haven't been out there in a while. Have you guys made the trek to Avalon since the last? So I remember it was just a shit show when I did it.
Yeah, we have.
So okay, you're pushing forward on this. Well, that's awesome deal is when you ride into
Well, the
Avalon.
Horses are back on Catalina. You know, a friend of mine who's in our group, Jeff Skelton, he brought back, it's called Catalina Horseback Adventures. And it's on Avalon now. It's been open for like 3 or 4 months.
Oh.
You have some great horses out there, great tack.
So you have a place to land when you get
if
down
if we
there.
Do that, yeah. We won't be doing it. But, you know, tourists, anybody go out there and have a riding experience on Catalina now.
I suggest it to everybody. Yeah. It's just,
that's awesome.
It's one of the most amazing things you can do on Catalina. Catalina's just so cool.
These are dead broke trail horses, so don't expect any real excitement on these horses.
You know, Eddie knows I've been trying to get better at as a podcast host, and Eddie's advice to me out of the gates was, you need to stop talking. You need to allow the guest to you know, share his story. But I have a story I want to tell you.
Please,
because I want this story out on the record. Because
I never told you to stop talking.
No, well, you did.
I did not. Yeah. Did I?
Yeah.
Did I really?
Yeah. Okay, so, well, you told me to talk less. How about that?
Did I say that? Did I really say that to you?
So, but no, I want to just share this story because, and not to brag, but I was awarded the highest award you can receive on Catalina, as you know, and I had a, I did.
You so, got an award, but it wasn't the highest.
It is the highest.
Do you have the buckle for it?
Of course. And so does Dave. Dave Brault has a buckle too. It's a bitchin' buckle. Okay, so anyway, and a plaque. I have a plaque. I'm trying to get up to the story, okay? So anyway, I had
received this award. Is this going anywhere?
It is. Because I want this story on the record because I want to verify these guys, okay? So anyway, I had arranged with some of these young guys, the Wranglers, to go play tackle football at Ben Weston. So everybody went one direction towards Two Harbors, and me and these young guys went to Ben Weston's. And of course, I'd been, you know, talking shit, and they couldn't wait to fucking lay their hands on me, right? We get out to the beach. I realize now those guys are strong fucking motherfuckers. Holy, that's why when these guys were saying that Eddie, and what do they say? The father of wisdom is bad experiences, and you can tell it pissing on the electric fence and all that shit. But anyway, that's why when they told me Eddie might not be such a pussy, I thought, you know, I have the wisdom of knowing that a skinny little guy like this actually can have superhuman fucking strength. These guys were so strong, and it was all I could do to, you know, stick with them. But I did. Anyway, so I'm wearing a red Fear the Monkey shirt from the Angels, you know. And I ride my horse to Two Harbors with these guys. We're laughing, and the whole group was already at Two Harbors. So I ride my horse into the bar and have the bartender hand me a beer. I spin the horse around, I ride him out, and then I walk in with my beer, okay? I didn't walk in, actually. I crawled in, actually, and I zip-tied Alford to his chair. I don't know if you remember that. No, it's like everybody in the bar knew I was doing it except for Alford. And fuck, when he got up and chased me around, that was so funny. But okay, so anyway.
Again, is this going
anywhere?
No,
it is. Like I said, this is my show. I can just do whatever the fuck I want. So I take my beer and I go lean up against the rail because I'm kind of wiped out. These two guys walk up to me, and this one guy says, "Hey, are you an Angels fan?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he says, "Well, I'm so-and-so." And I said, "Who?" And he goes, "I'm the starting pitcher." And I go,
"I remember that."
I go, "Okay." Well, I instantly didn't believe him, and I thought, and he's with this other guy. He goes, "Hey, I wanted to introduce myself, and I want you to meet this guy.
The most interesting man in the world.
The most interesting man in the world."
I remember that story.
Yeah. So I say,
"That's awesome."
I say to the guy, I go, "Look, I don't really follow it. Okay, so I don't know who you are. Nice to meet you." Well, he leans into this thing, and he's saying, you know, he's really him, and I'm me, and hey, let's have a chat. I said, "Look, you guys beat it." I didn't believe. I said, "Guys, just get away from me." And the guy kind of gets offended. He says, "Dude, I'm who I am." And I said, "Look, I swear to God, if you don't fucking get away from me, I'm going to beat the shit out of you two." And he leaned in even harder. And I'm going, what the fuck? Long story short, he wore me out. I said, okay, where'd you go to college? He says, USC. I said, where'd you, you know, what else or something? Or what year did you graduate from?
Just the player?
The player, yeah. Because yeah. I'm not talking to the fucking Those guy yet.
Because he's not that interesting.
He's standing there, yeah. So he says, I graduated in like 92 or something like that. I say, who's Craig G's best friend at Cal? Because anybody in the baseball world would know that if they were in that era, okay? The guy says, Kenny Mayer, of course. I fucking get chills telling this story. So I'm like, oh my God, so you're really who you say you are? And I go, is he really him? And he goes, yeah, dude. And the guy leans in and gives the line. And I swear to God, the three of us raged the rest of the day. We became instant best friends. I ended up walking him to the ferry. We were hugging. It was crazy. Hilarious.
That's crazy.
So anyway, I still didn't believe it. And I went home and another young man that's passed away, DeSensei, a guy named,
Doug DeSensei?
Well, yeah. What was his dad's name?
Doug DeSensei.
Doug's son.
I didn't know that.
So Doug DeSensei has a son.
I think Doug has passed away too.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So the son's passed away now also. And God, I feel bad for not remembering his name, but he's in good company with Jerry and Hubie, so I'll think of it. Anyway, so we were playing basketball and I just told him the story and he says, doesn't sound like that guy's character, but yeah, that's him. And so I confirmed it, that at least it was the baseball player.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for letting me get that story out, Jim. And if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have that story to tell. So anyway, I'm just thankful that, you let me tell that story. Thanks.
Can I ask you a little bit about your history, you know, like your history and, you know, your life and what you
I might become. Be the second most interesting man in the world.
I've been hearing that. That's what I'd like to kind of get, you know. Let me get a little history.
Ask away.
Yeah, man. Well, tell me about, like I said, just tell me about, you know, some of your younger years and like what, you know, what you've been doing.
I started out very interestingly being born in Brazil, in Rio. My dad was at the U.S. State Department, so I can barely remember it.
Interesting.
But, yeah, people think it's cool. I can't really remember it, but so I have dual citizenship, Brazilian-American. And then we moved to Southern Cal. My dad grew up in a little town, Afton, Oklahoma. And
I know where it's at.
Northeast Corner.
Yeah.
And he wrote his memoirs, and it's pretty cool. I reread them recently. His father had a third-grade education and was a horse trainer and the marshal in town. And I was reading his memoirs. My dad said, my earlier memory is my dad was getting into fistfights all the time, mostly with drunk guys, he said.
Right.
Okay. And
these are memoirs in a diary?
My dad wrote his memoirs.
Interesting.
He had a very interesting life. So he had me when he was 46, and he already had a family and all that. So he's the one that got me into horses. Okay, he had horses grow, you know, a lot, live his life, and I just loved that whole deal. And then my mom's parents immigrated from Denmark, and she grew up on a farm in the state of Washington. My grandfather never knew how to write English; he was basically illiterate, and my grandmother barely could because they had seven kids and they had to get them off to school. So they're farmers, and then I had two uncles that were big time into horses. My Uncle Ray, who had recently passed away at 92, was famous muler. He, even all over the Western United States, and he was a big influence on my life. He had a team of 20 black Percheron mules that went from 20 hands down to all the way down. And
so, give us a perspective of what a 20-hand mule, the size 18 of hands, a 20-hand mule.
Basically,
those are the ones you see
at the
going
top
down.
Of your head.
Yeah, wow. Right. They're
or where
humongous.
Where those are.
Right.
I mean, they're huge. Percherons are draft horses. Okay, they're a little smaller. They're smaller than a Budweiser or Clydesdale, but they're big They're, you know, they're bred to pull wagons, pull plows, and all that. And a mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. So to get a donkey that big, that's pretty big challenge right there between those.
So that's good DNA for the mule.
And donkeys are very smart. I actually had a donkey named Sophie once. Very cute, very, very, very smart. And so they're very intelligent animals. And he would drive five wagons full of people, fistful of reins. And he was known for it down here. I mean, I've met people here that knew him down here that knew him all the way from Washington State. And then it was pretty cool when he got older. He went to Mule Days in Bishop with this whole rig. He had to go with like 10 people to set it up in big horse trailers because he had wagons and 20 mules and all this other stuff. And he sold them all at auction. And I met a man who named Video Mike, a friend of Jerry Tyndall's, who was up there and filmed the whole process of him auctioning all off. And there he was bringing these five wagons, 20 black Percheron mules into the arena, and the announcer said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we may never see this again." And he's on he's on the podium there weeping as they're, you know, doing all that and selling everything. I got the DVD.
Wow.
Monterey didn't even know it existed.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
We need a copy of that.
And I have, but it's called Long Ear Logic, and it's about Mule Days in Bishop. And
they still do Mule Days in
Bishop.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's coming up. And next weekend. And so that was really great for, because Ray was a big influence on my life, you know, with, we'd go up to Washington for family reunions, and it was a big family. And I remember him, you know, I'm the Southern California city kid.
So you'd go for these reunions, it'd be a cowboy theme, ranch style.
Well, they
theme.
Call it farm there, but basically it's a ranch. They had all these horses and mules and wagons, all that stuff. And I was pretty damn young, okay, really young. And he'd go, "Oh, let's get the horses. Let's go saddle up the horses and bring around for the kids to ride and stuff." And so I'd, you know, trying to get favor with him, I'd do whatever he said. And so, here's Blackie, saddle him up. And I'm trying to keep my cool. The horse was not easy to deal with. And so I just ride him around, put him. So this thing started hopping on me and spinning and stuff like that. And I wasn't going to lose, okay? And I finally got him turned around.
Because you're young and dumb.
Well, yeah. And with an ego bigger than I should have had, which I still have. No, I finally got off of it because my last injury was too traumatic. And
most recent. Yeah.
So anyway, I walked by my Uncle Elmer, and he goes, "Hey, what's the name of that horse?" He goes, "Blackie." He goes, "Hell, Ray won't even ride Blackie."
God.
And so I got set up. And then he set me up again because he had a Belgium, which is another draft horse. They're kind of Palomino looking. And he trains that Belgium to train the mules because they're so big and strong, and the mules get out of shape, or he just holds them steady. Because why don't you ride the Belgium? He goes, "Saddle." And I have a saddle. I do have a bridle for him, but I had to climb up on something to get it. And that horse started bucking. But it's big, and it just rolls. Smaller ones are more than it. So I hop off, goes, "Ray, when's the last time this horse was ready?" He goes, "Not in years."
And why do you do this to the young guys?
No, it's
oh, my God.
It's cowboy humor.
Well, Lee Graham did the same thing to me one time. Oh, my God.
Well, you know this very well. Men challenge men. When you're a boy, you're all about challenging each other, right? Who's a better skateboarder? Who's this? Who can make the third? You know, who can make that 3-point? You're always challenging. That's what makes men men.
But the ones
boys.
With wisdom have a little
that comes
advantage.
Over time.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
So with that, you know, that's what we do. You know, we challenge each other, but And I,
it doesn't help that I'm challenged to begin with. So,
well, you finally got off the short bus. But anyway, so I heard this. It's not my quote, but I heard that men are mean to each other, and they don't mean it. Women are nice to each other, and they don't mean it. Mm-hmm. And every woman agrees with that.
Well,
that I've ever met. They all agree with that.
I have a follow-up. My point is,
bring it on, buddy, because I know you. I know we're friends, and right. I can take it.
Yeah, and it might get hot, too, and we'll get over it, right? Yeah, hopefully we'll get over it.
Well, we will, because that's what men do.
Yeah.
They confront it right away. They deal with it, and they go, you're an asshole. No, you're an asshole. Why am I an asshole?
Right.
You're right. And here's why you're right. Okay, let's get a beer.
Right. Yep. Right.
Where it's over with.
Yep. Okay, see if I get this
No
one
triangulation.
Right.
Yep. No behind your back bullshit.
Of course
let's
not.
Just, you know, get it over with.
Sorry,
Eddie. I'm going to forget because I have such bad short-term memory. I want to follow up the quote with why... Oh, come on. Okay, why do men... What's the quote I'm thinking is...
Men are mean to each other.
No. It's
the, oh, what the, do women and men have in common?
Okay, let me say it, yeah. No, you say it. You say it.
What do men and women have in common?
What do men and women have in common? They both prefer the company of men.
Yes.
Oh, forgive me to my female fans.
No, they agree with that too.
Yeah, they do.
They do. A couple questioned me on that, and I said, let me ask you a question. Whether you rather work with 10 men or 10 women, they go, done.
Come on.
10 men.
We've got to get off this line of.
Hey, I love women. No, they're great. Well, without them for women, we'd be all living in caves.
We wouldn't be alive. Yeah. There would be no anything.
A good woman can make a good man greater.
I agree. Okay, so now those were a couple jokes. Let's just define those as jokes and give us the joke that's right on top of your head, the best cowboy joke you can come up with right off the top of your head. Come on. I'll just give you a reminder. I remember the one you told me about the three lies. I remember the one you told me about the bison.
This could be appropriate from here.
Yeah, and you feel free to use cursing.
It's not my style.
I know, but give us a good one.
You know, it's I go blank, but I have a couple of funny ones that Eddie might know. You might relate to it. You're a little slow on the updraft for you.
I always have to.
So why did the cows go to the marijuana field?
Why?
It was the pot calling the cattle back.
I still don't get that one. I've heard it three times now.
What do you call a cow that just had a baby?
What?
Decaffeinated.
I get that. It's not that funny.
It's clean. It's clean. And, there's so many of them. I mean, the camaraderie, just it's a chance to, you know, be around people and, you know, enjoy life, and there's a lot of great personalities that are great at. You know, Rusty Richards, man, he could tell a poem forever.
He could tell poems. Star.
I mean, he had all these songs in his memory, and he played guitar and yodel. I mean, he was on the road with Roy Rogers and his group for years, and you know, a lot of TV appearances. He actually had his own TV show in the 40s. You know,
yeah,
and he served in the Marine Corps. You know, he was. He was an amazing man.
Well, to think he's Jason's godfather.
Jason's father.
No, Jason's godfather is, is Burt Reynolds. So
Jason's Dressy's son, yeah.
Right. So, and Jason, I've had a couple wild times with Jason. And how,
I know, I was watching you. You woke me up.
Oh, Eddie, you got to come one time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. What else, Jimbo?
Well, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
True story. It's a true story. I don't know if you call it a joke. So we're doing this ride, this guy brings his cow horse all the way from New Mexico. He had a 2.5-section-acre ranch, which is huge. Same as Jim Grinder. And he comes in with his cow horse. You know, he has going to Catalina, and he has the big hat. He has the Wrangler jeans. He's got a really nice cowboy shirt on. He has the gloves. He has a big belt buckle and these big red boots. He's not a very big guy. Maybe he's your size.
But he's the real deal.
He's a real right. deal. He's got a sash. He's Batwing. He's the real deal. I mean, one look and he's the real deal.
Well, and to an outsider, he might look like a total goofball.
No, he looked serious.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. He wasn't a goofball.
Oh, okay. No. So this outfit was a legit outfit. No, it wasn't a goofball outfit.
We're coming back to Harbors on Saturday, and there's some buffalo down there at the buffalo pens, and a few of the guys had maybe one or two too many buffalo milks there at the bar or beers. And they start chasing his buffalo.
God.
And he has a cow horse, so he's on a buffalo.
And he's riding the buffalo?
No, his horse is following the buffalo. Right.
Oh, he's on the buffalo. Got it.
He's on the horse. Buffalo starts going up the hill. Buffalo goes left. Horse goes left. Jimmy goes straight into a pile of cactus.
Mm.
And it was a hot day, and he didn't wear his batwing chaps, which would have been very useful.
Oh.
So I ride up there on him, and are you okay? He's out of the cactus. He's pulling off his big red boots. He's swearing. He's pulling off his Wrangler jeans, taking off the belt, taking all the stuff out of his pockets, and throws them saddlebags. And now he's got the big hat, the nice cowboy shirt, the red boots in his tidy whities. Got a vision of that? Okay. So we swing back in the saddle, and we're late, and we're like full on.
Back up on the horse in his tidy whities?
Yeah.
Boots, awesome. Boots and whites.
Yeah. Throws the Wranglers in the cactus. Throws the Wranglers in the cactus because for those that are not initiated with cactus spines, they have little hooks on the end of them. And you can't pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're stuck in there. Okay. So that's why he knew that. And so we're full on running down the road as fast as we could. Hats down, going as fast as we could. And he reins up. Stops. I go, what's the matter? He goes, I got to pee. Hold my horse. Okay. So there he is, standing a little bit off center of the road, big hat, cowboy shirt, tidy whities, red boots. And now he's pulling out the wanger. He's pulling it out, and he's doing his business. And then, you know, when you're doing that, your hat's down like this, and you can't see what's coming. You can't see what's coming, right? But on top of this horse, I can see what's coming. It's the tour bus.
Oh, my God.
And here it comes. Do I say anything?
No.
No.
Of course.
Of course not.
You have to let this play out.
I have to let it play out, right? And here comes the bus, right? And he's
just right at it, directly at it.
Dick in hand, full stream, with the red boots, big hat, fancy shirt, and the sash, and looks up, and I see these cameras going off with all these Asians in there taking photos.
Awesome.
That's a true story.
Oh, God. It ain't easy having pals.
That's great.
Yes. Well,
I got a quote. That's a quote from a cowboy movie. Do you know what it's from?
Which quote?
It ain't easy having pals.
No.
The one with
you keep asking me and you forget.
Like I said, what is that, trivia? I'm still nervous around you. It's the Young Guns.
Oh.
Yeah. Young Guns. It ain't easy having pals.
But worth it.
Well, it is worth it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It is worth it.
So you,
So
go ahead. Yeah.
So back to me, right?
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Well, I was just curious about like where that, like, so you've been a horseman all your life. Well, like, that's pretty much what you've done.
I want to be in many ways. I've owned lots of horses. I've done cattle drives and brandings and sortings and roping. And
now when you say cattle drives, do you mean like the movie City Slickers when people used to watch that movie and...
Well, that was a made for movie stuff where they brought in city slickers and it gave them the cowboy experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a real,
real cattle drive. And how far did you run cattle?
Not much. We just brought them in from the open fields into into the arenas to brand them.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Interesting.
And then that was on Jack Roddy's ranch. Is up north, and he's in the Cowboy Hall of Fame and the Rodeo Hall of Fame.
I met him.
Yeah, and world famous cowboy. He has a great life story as well. He recently passed away at 85.
Wow.
And he's a real man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't he a 10-time world champion?
He was a 2-time world champion steer wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But he was a roper, and he had a 2,000-acre ranch up there. We ran cattle, and the cattle that we were bringing in were from Hawaii. I used to buy and sell cattle, and now I just do it on the weight gain, which he brought these. Everybody knew Jack. Everybody knew Jack. So the cattle come in from the Parker Ranch or something in Hawaii, which is a whole nother discussion.
Parker Ranch, yeah. It's my father was a black belt under Ed Parker.
Yeah.
The guy who came, that's Parker Ranch. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the history of Parker Ranch is great. I know the history.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so they come over.
Are you a black belt?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So they come over
quit
and then
talking shit to you, Eddie.
And then they come over on the boat, but then they be in his fields and his pastures or hills, and they'd eat, and they'd gain a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm.
So he get paid only for the weight gain, so much for the weight gain. So he had no liability. He'd have to worry about anything like that. So we'd bring these cattle in from Hawaii, which are basically wild animals. Okay. They're out in the wild and they're very timid. And if you push them a little hard, they just take off running. So you got to really do it really careful with everybody in the right spot and all that. Anyway, that's one cattle drive situation.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, my parents, my family, they own some ranches up in northeastern Oregon. And a lot of the ranchers up there, they just they open their gates in the off season, and the cattle run out and they take off up into the mountain,
right,
their thing. And then when it's time, they come. They know where their home's at. They're fucking super intelligent. They come right back down the mountain there. You know what I mean? And sometimes
just
they'll park out in my parents' front yard and eat their hay. Stepdad, I got to go out there and chew them off. You know, get out of here. It's my pig's hay, you know, whatever.
Well, I've been on cattle ranches where they know exactly where they're going.
They know exactly. I mean, they go off up into the mountains
and
for a while.
And then you just start pushing them in the direction, and they just, that's all you
have
to do.
They go right back down to their farms, and they go right in. I'll tell you another story. My stepdad, we had some cattle. And one day, one of the cows had its calf, and the next day my stepdad went out to check on the calf and probably shouldn't have got as close as he got, because that calf trampled him almost to death, or the cow trampled him almost to death
because it got near the calf.
And and he had a life flighted to Boise International, he had a lacerated spleen, ruptured stomach, collapsed lung, crushed rib cage, the whole nine, man. Yeah.
It sounds like your latest injury.
Not that bad.
What happened?
Oh, sorry. I want you to go. What are you a black belt in?
Kempo.
What's that?
Martial art.
Just a general martial art? Yeah.
One of the standing arts. We're direct descendant of...
You said Kempo?
Kempo. K-E-N-P-O.
So there's a Kempo guru that can authorize you to wear a black belt.
So yeah,
Kempo.
I mean, there's okay. So Ed Parker he mentioned Parker Ranch. So Ed Parker actually came to the United States, was one of the very first people to come to the United States and actually teach martial arts like wholesale. Mm. You know what I mean? Like training people, like a lot of people. The IKKA was one of the first major organizations to spring up in the United States.
Mm.
But yeah, yeah. And my father was actually a black belt under one of his black belts, Huck Plantis, and then learned from Ed in his house for 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he was I think he made his fourth under Ed, and then went and worked with IKCA with Chuck Sullivan and Vic LaRue and some of those guys from the old days with Ed, who got their black belts like under Ed, like
well,
directly.
Shit, Eddie, I'm gonna have to interview you one of
Come
these
down,
days,
man. Yeah, man,
but
for sure.
Since we're here for Jimmy, Jimbo, Jimmy, my man.
It's crazy that you, you know, talk about Parker Ranch, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, that there's that correlation there, you know?
So keep the thought you had. I know you're smart enough to remember things, unlike me. But I wanted to, we were talking about some of these famous people, and, you know, there's a blend of, and a lot of people don't realize this, is that there's a blend between surfers and cowboys somehow, some way, however that happens or happened.
I could tell you.
Well, and so I wanted to ask you about Velzy, and maybe, you know, we've spent some time talking about Rusty and
I don't know who Velzy is.
Velzy, you know Velzy surfboards.
Oh, well, yeah, but yeah, you so want to know?
I mean, oh, so you didn't know him very well?
No,
it's, you know, I bring him up just because he's such a famous name, such a famous person in the surfing world. But then, towards the end of his life, or I mean, I'd say at the end of his life, when when he got to be our age, he became a cowboy, like a full on cowboy. I thought that was cool. And we know some guys that are surfer cowboys also.
Well, the name for surfer cowboy is Paniolo. Okay, and
from where's that? How do you get that name?
Well, Captain Vancouver, back in the day.
Here we go, history baby. Okay, let's go.
Came to Hawaiian Islands and gave King Kamehameha five cows. The bull died, but one was pregnant. And King Kamehameha said, these are sacred animals, okay? And so when he came back again, he brought more cow and brought some bulls. And again, King Kamehameha, these are sacred, they're sacred animals. Well, they're in that wonderful, lush environment, they're proliferating like crazy. And these bulls are nasty animals, okay? And they're ripping up villages, going to crops, and actually killing some of the islanders. And there was a guy named John Parker that kind of jumped ship and asked to stay on the island because it's still a kingdom, but it was respected. And he had a musket. And at the time, you know, they had to do something about the cows. And so he said, you know what? I have an idea. He says, your sandalwood's your only export, and you're decimating your trees. We could take these cattle and turn them into an enterprise. And controlling the population. Plus,
so
he could shoot them.
The more bulls you end up, they're more sacred animals.
No,
so
they became non-sacred at that point.
Okay, okay.
They became dangerous
rodents.
Yeah, so to speak. So they brought these Españolas, they call them, or Mexican cowboys, over there to teach the Hawaiians how to be cowboys. And the interesting thing is, this is when, quote, civilization is trying to get them all to convert and not speak the native languages and stuff like that.
So, this was after he had unified the islands.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay, so
anyway, so Españolas in Hawaiian meant Paniolos. They made it their name, Paniolos. Okay, and they were out and they still spoke the native
language. Interesting. Okay, so these cowboy surf like hybrids came from Hawaii.
Well, they were cowboys in Hawaii long before they were in Texas. If you look on the timeline, they were working cattle over there.
Wow. So I get this straight: the Mexican cowboys come over and name the Hawaiians.
No,
the
Hawaiians named
themselves.
No. Oh, they named themselves.
Yes. Yeah, because they call them Españolos.
Bingo.
So they out of that they derivative to Paniolos, and today there's still a very vibrant cowboy community in Hawaii.
That's cool.
And there's a, you know, the Parker Ranch is still there. I think it's now just 150,000. Anyway, I'll go back to that.
Was that the Parker Ranch you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, same one.
Okay.
So, yes. So then back to John Parker, he ends up marrying King Kamehameha's granddaughter.
Right.
And so as a wedding gift, he gave him all that land, which is now the Parker Ranch.
Right. And then John had Ed, and that's Ed was the one who brought martial arts to the mainland. Who brought Kenpo. Sorry, when I say martial arts, I meant Kenpo.
I'm going to have to rewind this.
Dude, yes. And he was my father's martial arts instructor for 13 years. God, that's a crazy story, dude.
Yes. So they,
awesome, dude.
They,
does Queen Emma fold into this at all? Do you know?
She a stripper?
No. She was apparently one of King Kamehameha's granddaughters.
I don't know about that.
I'm just curious.
I'm sure there's people that know. But the Hawaiians have their own unique rodeo events,
too. Sure, that's cool. Interesting. Yeah. Like, and they vary. They're different from, like, some, because I've seen rodeos in Oregon and Idaho and Oklahoma, but I've never seen one in Hawaii. How do they differ from ones
you see
here? They
have some different events, but there's a great story, a guy named Purdy, and Teddy Roosevelt had been to Hawaii.
He was a badass.
And he met these guys, and he was now president, and now they're running these cattle operations. And they were being squeezed by the slaughterhouses. They're getting screwed over. So Purdy travels crossboat, train all the way to Washington, D.C., to talk to his friend, Teddy Roosevelt, about it, and then back then, just walks right in, no Secret Service.
Right, yeah.
As the president, no, he's up in Wyoming at a rodeo, Cheyenne Days. So he goes up there and meets with the president, does all this stuff, and he's watching the roping and stuff going on. He says, we're better than these guys.
Really?
Yeah, we're better than these guys. And I got to remember, he's black. He's basically darky. He's a darky, right? So he goes back and says to his buddies, their Parker Ranch is actually, this is a true story, on financial ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, let's go over there and we can win this. Okay? And he did befriend some local ranchers up there, local, who lent them horses, bet the ranch, basically, and cleaned up.
No shit.
It's highly documented.
No shit.
It is very well documented. This is true story. Yeah, because a friend of mine wrote a script all about this. And I have the script, and it talked to all about the history about all that, and tried to see if you could make it a movie.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And has videos of them putting cattle on boats, has actual pictures, has the history.
Wow.
And all that. I could send it to you.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would love to see that.
So it goes through all the history of the Parker Ranch. There's
no
some
shit.
Yeah. There's some, you know, because it's a movie.
But you got the full script.
I have the full script.
I'd love to read that.
Yeah. There's, you know, drama written in.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, yeah, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah, but it's mostly true.
Wow.
Yeah, it is very true. That's why I know about this. Again, learning from somebody else.
So what different events do they have, though? Or how do some of the events differ? Like,
You know, it's hard to say because you have to really know the difference.
Really know. Yeah, you have to know.
Okay, and the Mexicans run different events.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's what we'd call cruel.
Right, yes.
Very cruel.
Absolutely.
And you got these, you know, PETA people over here, you know.
Easy.
No, I'm going to say it.
He said easy.
I'm going to say it. You know, they protest these rodeos.
Yeah.
And woke California is buying into all this crap. And I can say that now.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Well, it's just going to turn into an argument.
No, it's not.
The two of you versus me. Yeah. That's what happened last time.
No, the whole point is these animals are trained well, yeah, bred well, treated like rock stars,
right,
like the athletes they are,
yeah,
for 8 seconds.
Right.
Okay? That's the tops they do. And they know what's going on. And, you know,
right,
and I think those,
they tie their balls up.
They do not.
They rope their balls and then they yank on their balls for 8 seconds. And then the rest of their lives is fucking gravy. I'm just saying.
You're like most woke people, uninformed.
No, again,
uninformed
me. But when you, yeah.
You enjoying this, Ed?
I am, good.
And,
Jim, I have to ask. So I have seen what Ryan's talking about, where they do put like the brace around the testicles. Like,
no,
before,
they do not.
So they don't do that.
No, they don't.
Okay, so
they stick something up their ass. And,
no, they
and
don't.
They
so
wiggle
how,
out.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
Know. How do they do it?
I thought
how do
they
get that bull to jump?
Well, first of all, they're trained to do that. As a guy that owns bucking bulls,
yeah,
myself,
they're trained to do it.
They're trained. They're bred. They're bred.
Wow.
They're bred. All the bucking horses are bred.
No kidding.
They're bred to do it.
That's cool.
Okay, they're trained and bred, so.
And they could be worth a couple million bucks.
No,
right?
No, not even close.
Oh.
Not even
more than a million bucks?
No. They're worth.
Those professional bulls, like the
maybe 60,000 bucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, we should get a couple of those. Because that's going to be becoming a big business. People watching rodeos more and more.
We got our own stripper glitter bull company.
You really?
Of course you do.
Oh, shit.
Of course you do.
Yeah, we buy bulls and we have them trained and
that's cool.
Put into rodeos all over the Western United States.
I was watching the NFR and I think they said that bull was $1 million bull.
Well, yes, hyperbole.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But here's how it can be $1 million because
the sperm could be worth.
No, it's because you can get a high score on that bull.
Yes, when you win.
Yeah, when you win.
Yes.
And since we're deviating, for those that don't know, here's how it works. They're not around the nuts of the bull. There is, and bucking horses. And this is kind of like their cue. They have a strap that goes around their flank, which is the back, in front of the back legs, but behind the barrel. And that's the soft spot.
Interesting.
Okay.
And the barrel being the back of the ribs, or the back of the ribs.
It's called the flank.
The ribs.
Yeah, between the barrel and the back legs.
Right.
And that's just a tender, softer spot. Because it's not touching.
It's like your taint.
It's not touch. Not touching.
Like if somebody grabbed
it's not touching
my
your balls.
Instead.
It's not touching your. And it has a little tiny spike in it, just an agitator.
Gotcha.
Okay. And it's an agitator to get them to go, I want this off of me.
Yes.
Okay, but I think some of those animals just damn well enjoy it anyway. Okay? Because they know what's coming.
Right.
And I'm going to get this guy off of me.
Right.
So when
they see it as a challenge almost. Like, they're part of this. They know.
They're bred for it. They know.
That's cool.
They see all the buckle bunnies on the crowd.
Yeah, they're bred for it.
And they're showing
so
off.
So after 8 seconds, you're done, or before, right. If you get DQ'd, you'll see the pickup man come around, and the first thing he does, if not to get the cowboy off, which
yanks
is
that thing off.
He pulls the thing, and that flank strap
loosens.
Drops.
Yeah, I see it, yeah.
And then they stop bucking normally.
And that's what I've seen when I see rodeos, and I didn't know that was what that was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They kind of stop
so
bucking.
So interesting.
Because they know. Time's up. Your show's over.
No shit.
And they
meet. And it's almost like they instantly calm down.
Yeah, well, they know it.
Like,
they know they're performing.
Yeah.
And they immediately look for the gate to get back in their deal.
Okay, speaking of what they're looking for, do you think they see somebody they don't like and go after them? Somebody that's been an asshole? And they know it? And
no,
they say,
it's not about personality. It's about
everybody. They can't recognize an asshole.
No, but bulls. Like any animal has their own personality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So some are hotter than others. Go back to the scoring. So there's a possible hundreds points, bull riding and bronc riding. Okay. 50 get assigned to the bull. 50 get assigned to the rider. So when you say it's $1 million bull, because you want that bull to buck hard because you'll get a higher score.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The bull has to buck. I see.
Okay.
I see.
So there's a draw. You draw your bull, and you're always hoping to draw a badass bull.
A monster,
bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, because.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
Because if you draw a calm one, you run your 8 seconds, you did good, but the bull didn't really buck.
You might
that
get
much.
A high score, but you get a low score on the bull side.
No shit. I didn't understand that. Okay.
And sometimes they'll give them a rewrite.
Right.
They'll give you a rewrite. Yeah, we're going to give you a rewrite.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Wow.
So then the same thing goes for bronc riding.
So have you put any of your bulls that you own in competition yet?
They're in. They're like small rodeos. We buy them young and bring them up and then
sell them. Did you ever compete yourself?
Not officially.
Bull riding? But you've ridden a bull that
not,
was bucking.
You have any... injuries from bull riding?
Not bull riding, no.
Oh, wow.
Tell
well,
us
good.
About the last
no,
injury.
No, I haven't never ridden a bull.
Oh, wow.
No.
Well, I know the last injury you had was severe, and you were in the hospital for a while. What were the circumstances?
Well, you know, go back to, was your dad?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
my
the story is,
yeah.
Well, that makes him a cowboy because he's been injured.
Okay.
Okay. If you haven't been injured, you know, if you haven't broken bones.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's been thrown from his horse. You know, he's been trampled by his cattle, the whole deal, man.
And that's part of the program.
Yeah, he's had issues with his pigs, the whole nine, you know.
That's like saying you haven't lived a life if you haven't gone broke.
Well, you
can,
I don't know.
You can be a cowboy and not got have broken bones.
Well, it's rare that I meet anybody.
You're not competing or getting into the mix.
Well, it's rare that I meet somebody who's been around horses a long time, hasn't been hurt.
Right, of course.
Okay, because, again, you're challenged by it sometimes, like I was last time. I got seriously hurt because I traded horses with a guy at the last minute who's afraid to ride it.
Wow.
And long story short.
What's his name? No, you don't. I'm just kidding. Don't say it.
Long story short, I should have never done that. It was a couple of years ago, and I should know better because I've done this kind of crap before, and this hurt me. But I got this, walked the horse around, did this horse whisperer bullshit stuff that's supposed to work. And I put my own saddle on it. I saddled myself. I did all the stuff. We started out real good. And it got spooked. There's quite a few riders. Started bucking. And I'd never been on this horse before. Didn't know anything about it. And it started bucking hard. And I was looking at him. I'm going to get off of this on my terms. Okay? Because, he wasn't going to stop. And last thing I needed to do is get off balance and go off and hit my head on a rock or something like that. So, having done this before on my terms, so I was moving around. They said I was on it for quite a while.
That's going to be the name of your motherfucking book, by the way.
On my terms.
On my terms. I like
that.
I like it. Yeah.
So,
I'm going to write that script.
And then, so I moved around, and we're up at a Garner Ranch up by Idaho. It's still a working cattle ranch. Mm-hmm. And found this big flat area. Had grass on it, been raining. I thought it was soft. So I bailed and wanted, go to a roll, make sure your head's good. Turns out it was an abandoned airstrip, and I landed on asphalt with a little bit of grass over it.
So you thought it was going to be soft. So yeah. You were kind of bracing for softness. Right.
So I broke 8 ribs, a collarbone, and punctured a lung, and I was in a hospital bed for 3 weeks.
Oh, how'd they get you up and out of there?
Ambulance.
Oh, jeez.
And drugs.
You just laid That's there wild, until they put man. You on a stretcher?
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
I bet they had to give you something real strong to get you out of there, too, because when you riding out of somewhere like that, every bump is like, fucking excruciating.
No, I was in an ambulance. But anyway, same night, Rusty Richards comes into the hospital. And they, great, I'm going to be in the hospital room, in the ER room next to Rusty the night he dies.
Ugh.
He's just dehydrated. They filled him up full of fluids. He was back at the campground singing again.
Nice.
Okay. And because he loved it. Yeah, that was painful. I had another ankle injury. I haven't ridden much yet, but I'm beginning back into it. Because
would you call dehydration an injury? A cowboy injury?
No.
I mean, what do they call it when you get severe dehydration and you almost die? Dehydration? Yes, is there another term for it?
I wouldn't know. But it's important to stay hydrated.
Oh,
not with
God.
Alcohol,
is that
by the way.
Number one. It's probably rule number one, stay hydrated.
Right.
Anyway, I don't. You have any other questions?
So this led to you being a lifelong horseman. I mean, that's
yeah,
been
I've done. I actually got challenged to do fox hunting.
Really?
And I'd never done it, and so I went up to Santa Ynez to the Santa Ynez Hunt Club. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Interesting.
I had a English saddle my daughter used in 4-H, and I didn't know anything about English saddles. It turned out to be too small for me in a polo saddle, which means it didn't have knee rolls, which help you hold your legs in. I was on my favorite horse of all time, Cloud Paint Cowhorse. And we're looking around, and I wouldn't buy the pants. I said, I'm not wearing those faggy pants. And
he doesn't cuss, but
he's not PC either.
Rewind
the tape. That's all good. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it.
Well, anyway, did I say something wrong?
No, yeah, you did, but we'll edit it out. Anyway, yeah, I'll find it, and it won't get out. So anyway, my man, Jimmy.
Well, you're ruining my story.
I can tell you're trying to get out of here. I'm going to keep you in your chair because I want to talk about some serious shit.
Okay, aren't we now?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So a friend that did fox hunting goes, you know, this is a manly sport too, so you can wear mine. And I put everything else together, bought a helmet, and, you know, I had to have that. And my horse, there's three fields in fox hunting, they call it. The first field jumps everything. And over barbed wire fences are like called coops. You know, they're wooden like things like go the full length of that one section of fence.
Right.
And the wooden, so the horses can jump those. And they're in various places. Second field doesn't jump, but it goes through the fences and they go pretty fast. Third field is like older horses. People just want to go around and, you know, be a participant. That's where Ryan would go.
Well, I was going to say, not to interrupt your story, but it's boring. The what's the deal with the fox hunt? Like, what's the...
Well, here to all you...
Like, real quick, give us a...
In California, they're coyote chasing. You never get them.
Okay.
You never get them. It's a chase. Those things are fast and smart. Okay, so it's all about the event. Hmm. You never get them. If you ever get a coyote, it's because it's sick or old.
Oh, you go on coyote hunts also?
They're called fox hunting here.
But it's coyotes.
California is fox hunting. They're coyotes.
Oh, okay, because it's illegal to chase foxes.
But no, because they're not out here. They're coyotes everywhere.
Oh,
right?
Got it.
And by the way, they're considered a pest. In California,
major invasive species.
Yeah, there's open season 24/7, 365 days a year.
Same with Oregon, man. Right. One of the cowboys who runs Pine Valley Ranch out there would take my stepdad up in a helicopter to just shoot the coyotes.
Yeah.
So this is a fox hunt that you're actually chasing coyotes.
It's coyote chasing.
So what are you trying to accomplish? And everybody's on a line. They send the coyotes running, and then you're chasing.
No, the coyotes are out there wild.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's multiple coyotes. Mm-hmm.
No,
so it's
whoever,
not like
but
the movies I'm thinking of.
You have what's called 16 couples or 32 foxhounds. They're bred for this, and you got a full-time trainer, breeder,
but
and all
coyotes.
That.
Coyotes.
No, these are foxhounds.
Oh, the hounds, right.
The hounds.
Got it.
The hounds. You'll get there.
I have listening issues also.
So, so, you know, and they're the ones that sniff it out, and then they start hounding, you know, calling out, and then you just fall. And many times you never find them.
So you would call it more like a hunt than a chase. It's not, because I think
no,
of the
No, it's more
movies.
Like a chase and a hunt.
Okay.
Because you're not
it's a
killing
chase
anything.
And a hunt.
We don't kill anything.
Yeah.
So you're, okay, so you're the coyote, and I'm the cowboy, and I'm chasing
you're
after
the huntsman.
You. I'm the huntsman chasing
you're no cowboy.
The coyote.
And, I mean, it's wild riding.
Yeah, I can guess. But who gets the fucking blue ribbon? The guy. How do you catch the coyote?
How do you win?
What do you get?
It's not about winning.
It's just about doing
it's
it.
It's about just doing it.
It's about enjoying the experience.
I can't
experience.
Believe those words just came out of your mouth.
Well,
if
you go
winning.
Surfing, is it about winning the surf day?
Right.
Or is it just being out there?
Okay.
Right. And honing your skills, yeah. Relationship with the horse,
right.
Mm-hmm. Camaraderie,
okay.
Having stories to tell afterwards.
So nobody ever catches the fucking coyote, but if you did catch the coyote, what would you have to do?
Nothing. The hounds would rip him up in pieces.
Oh, so it never happens. It's just...
No, the hounds would kill him.
Oh, so if the hound catches the coyote, that's a win. That's a blue ribbon.
That's the win.
Oh, okay. So you're teamed up with the hound.
Totally, without the hounds.
Okay, I'm glad
There's
I asked
a long
these
history team. Dogs, horses, and men, and hunting, because the dogs are fast and they got the nose. The horses are fast and they keep up with the hounds, the dogs, and the man on the horse can see everything that's going on.
Got it.
And that threesome has been very important.
Together
for millennia.
Wow.
Okay?
Thanks for clarifying for me.
Yeah.
I want to get a little personal with you because, like I said, you could go all day and not get personal, and so I need to rein you in. Okay.
Okay.
You mentioned your father and his memoirs, and I just can't imagine how thankful you are, number one, that he wrote those memoirs, but number two, that the memoirs were preserved, and call it number three, that you were able to collect them. It's, if you have...
No, it's like a book.
It's one book or multiple
books?
No,
he wrote it out like a book.
Oh, okay, got it. So he decided, I'm going to write my memoirs in one essay form.
Yes, he did.
Okay, it wasn't a collection.
No, he
of
wrote
essays.
It himself.
Okay, so you have possession of a book.
I come from a long line of storytellers.
Okay, awesome. So this is what I'm getting out of this is if I'm guessing maybe you've taken an example from that and you've started to take some notes of your memoirs and record some of your thoughts.
I'm thinking about it.
Well, we're doing it right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So what I'm getting at is if you're gonna say start your memoirs, start your book. And I'm guessing there'd be lots of chapters in there in different fields and different groups and within the fields. Just off the top of your head, what would be some of the things you would want to get across to your kids when you're gone, or me when you're gone, because I'm definitely going to
outlive
you. Like
when I walk out of here or when I'm dead?
No, when you're dead. When you're dead.
How do you know I'm going to die before you?
Well... I don't ride bulls. I don't go all the way like you. I might go a little bit of the way in a lot of different things, but not all the way like you. So anyway, what just off the, and again, so you're trying to get off the fucking serious topic. I want to stay. This is a serious question. What are some of these values? Some of these cowboy values. One of the things I'm thinking is, you know, say you're dead and we have like an AI generated system that is going to capture your soul and I can talk to it. Okay. What it, and I was thinking, okay, you could just input into the back end of that system, the Bible, right? So I'm a religious person. I follow the Bible. I do whatever the Bible says, but maybe not in all circumstances. It's a back end. What comes to mind when with the cowboy philosophies, the Christian philosophies, the friendship philosophies? What are some of your thoughts on your memoirs?
Well, we talked some of that. Treat people with kindness and respect. We talked about a guy like Rusty Richards always being a gentleman, tipping his hat to the ladies, being respectful and kind. The other thing that comes to mind, and these are not just cowboys, I think it's important in everybody's integrity, is have integrity. And it's always good to look up that word, just find out what it really is, and be of good character. You know, where you want to be, what do you want people to think when they see you coming? What do they want you to think of who you are? What do you want them to have in their mind when they see you? I think that's very important. And you go back to the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you hope they'll do unto you. You know, you guys know all this stuff. Yeah. There are principles, and you stay on your principles. You know, don't be swayed by people that want you to believe how they want you to believe. Okay? Believe and find out what you think is the truth. And look at the reference of those who speak to you. What do they know? Where they come from? How do they know it? You know? Why should I believe them or care to believe them? And then, you know, help each other. Love each other. Care about each other. And we see that a lot, but not enough. Don't focus on labels. Focus on what we have in common. Because I think we all want the same thing. We try to get there different ways. And I think people are tribal. So they've always been tribal. So they pick their tribe, what they want to be in. You know, I'll be a cowboy tribe, but I have to earn that. Or I want to be in this tribe or that boy. And so, don't be afraid to change tribes. If you don't like what's going on, you don't have to be loyal to it. You know, you can move on. And not everybody's a good person. You know, I know plenty of cowboys. I don't want to spend any time with them at all, ever, ever. You know, and I know people of different persuasions or whatever that are wonderful people. And other people might not want to be, even consider them having them as a friend. You know, Will Rogers had a saying, the great Will Rogers said, "A stranger is just a friend I hadn't met yet." And my dad told me that one. And it stuck with me, you know. And I thought that's a great way to look at things. You know, a stranger is just a friend I have not met yet. And if we go in with that attitude, and when we meet somebody, I think they'll feel safer meeting you and knowing that you're going to treat them like they should be treated. And if they don't treat you the way you want should be treated, move on.
That's like that. Fantastic. I believe Will Rogers also said something about pissing on the electric fence. And I don't know the exact quote, but I remember one of the big guys like you put their arm around me one day and said, you know, you're just one of those guys that pisses on the electric fence. And I didn't realize it wasn't a compliment.
As I'll just say, don't squat with your spurs on.
Anyway. Oh, Jim, I'm so thankful you joined us today. And man, we got a lot out of you. I know it. And
great stuff.
And
dude,
I told you we'd go for a while, and you wouldn't believe it. That
it's passed pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what happens with friends. And Eddie, thanks so much.
Dude,
yeah,
absolutely. You've been fantastic. Yeah. And thanks always for having me, Ryan. Seriously, this is so
Eddie, you're
so
my
much
partner.
Fun, brother. I love this, man.
You guys are both my partners, and I really appreciate our friendships.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you said a couple things in there that really resonated with me, you know, and I'm going to be thinking about a lot of what you just said today, you know. So it was really, really, like I said, that was really insightful.
Hmm. What do you say about second chances?
They're good. So are third chances. So are fourth chances.
Get
so
them
are
for
fifth
yourself
chances.
And give them to other people.
Well, you know, there's, I always tried to believe the best in people. And I found that it burned me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you got to look for those energy suckers or those energy vampires.
Avoid energy vampires, like you said. Yeah.
But, you know, Ronald Reagan had a great line, trust then verify.
Mm.
Okay. And I thought that's a great way to look at trust and then verify. You know, if you're with somebody and he feels that you can trust them. He may feel that he can trust you, but really verify.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are not bad people. They just screw up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know that what they don't know.
Like you said, people change. Earlier you said that.
Well, you got to protect people from what they don't know they don't know.
Right.
Sound like Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's something I always like to say, and something you kind of said in a roundabout way at the end, at what you were saying at the end there. But people don't analyze and parse raw data anymore for themselves. They just listen to whatever the person on TV is telling them or whatever, instead of going and, like you said, finding the information, analyzing it, and I mean the raw data.
Making your own decisions.
Analyzing, parsing the raw data and thinking for yourself.
I say that to my kids all the time. You need to, and get good counsel. Make your own decisions.
Right. Find your mentors.
That's a huge.
Find your mentors.
A huge one. That was something that took my life. Like, a lot of times life will go like here, and then you'll take these big leaps up. One of the big leaps was when I started identifying the mentors in my life and acknowledging them, sitting them down and saying, you've been a mentor to me, you know, can we actively have this kind of a mentor-mentee relationship? And those people, you know, acknowledging that, invest in you, certain things, yeah, dude, having great mentors and counselors in your life is a huge, huge deal, huge deal.
I would imagine mentors die before their mentees. That's why I mentioned you're one of my mentors, and that's why I said I don't think you can collect the kind of wisdom that you have without the experiences, and those experiences take time, right?
So, oh, yeah,
and you're not that much older than me.
Well, you know, it's you got to get busted up a lot. You know, I mean, I look at my life and
I've had some great life. You're a successful businessman as well. But you're talking about getting busted up also. That's part
you
of it.
You get busted up. You get, you have pain in your life. You have unexpected things happen to you. Yeah. You try to do everything right and it goes wrong.
Setbacks.
Setbacks. But you also have your accomplishments. You also have things that people that come into your life that, when you least expect it, and you really needed them, and they lift you up and encourage you, and help you through it, and you want to be that to other people, because it comes back around. The song that I really like is from Frank Sinatra. I Did It My Way.
Wait, what's the name of his book again?
Frank's book?
No,
On My Terms.
On My Terms. I love it.
My Way is a great Frank tune.
Do a song, On My Terms.
Yeah.
That'd be good. We're going to immortalize you in song.
Are you a musician too?
Yeah, I'm a songwriter.
I got great lyrics for a song.
No, man, I'm gonna give you my contact when we're done here. I want to read that script and let's talk about some stuff. I'll send you my last album. You can take a listen.
The title of the song is "I Want a Low Maintenance Woman."
We're on the same page already. Dude. I think we're we'll be songwriting partners in no time.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up.
I don't know what to say.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're one of my heroes, Jim.
Oh, you're one of my close friends.
I appreciate you.
You're really liked by a lot of people, though.
You don't have to say it.
That's true.
Say what you just said. No, I'm just kidding. what'd you say?
I think
that I'm one of those people that is immune to energy vampires. I think they avoid you.
You kind of override.
They avoid you. I'm
going
to suck the energy they
out of
have.
Them. Yes.
Yeah. So I need their energy, and that's why I say I need your energy. When I get it from you, I bring it back.
You build on each other's energy.
You're like a spark plug. you're like I'm telling you, it's trippy. And for energy vampires,
they don't do well with people like you.
This
isn't about me.
They don't.
They're scared of guys like you.
They are.
You're not predictable.
Well, okay, we don't.
That's right.
Let's not.
No, serious. That's right.
I'm gonna get in trouble if we keep. We're gonna get in trouble if you keep talking about me.
No, man.
I appreciate you guys.
I agree with what he said, though.
All right, we're wrapping this up.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Great job, Jim. Thank you so much. It's a wrap.